Today's episode of CougarCast is brought to you by The Big Tees. The Big Tees is the best place to go for all of your custom needs. T-shirts, wild decals, stickers for your cars, those wonderful Pac-12 stickers if you need them. That's not actually true. They don't make that's copyrighted. But you can go to The Big Tees. They are located on the second floor of the Provo Town Center Mall, just down from the movie theater and right next to the food court. Go check them out. Anything that you need made, custom, they can take care of you, and it's going to look great. They've got awesome silk screening. They also have a direct-to-fabric printer, so it doesn't look like totally, completely homemade and all that other stuff. And so my mind always goes to, when I think about this, for you CougarCast listeners, if any of you are still at Brigham Young University, get your team intramural jerseys from the Big Tees, because then you don't have to wear the disgusting intramural jersey that they're going to hand you that's been played in for 4 hours before you have to throw it on. So the Big Tees, find them at Provo Town Center Mall. And if you aren't a local Providian, you can check them out at thebigtees.com, and that's the big and then the letter T-S. So thebigtees.com, they have a thing on there where you can go through and make your custom logo on the computer, send it, and then they'll send you your stuff. Pretty awesome stuff. Go check them out. Did you know that there are kids all around the world who would love to go to school but can't because they don't have a school uniform?
I did not know that.
That's why they can't go. That's why a company called Akin Clothing was started. They had this idea that if they could sell you a t-shirt, they could then use the money from that to get a uniform for a kid and go to school. So he could go to school. It's literally the only thing that keeps them from having an opportunity of getting an education in these third world countries. They visit places like the Dominican Republic, Peru. They've been all around the world. And what they do, you can read about everything that they do on akinclothing.com, and you can go pick up a t-shirt today. And if you do so, you can help send a kid to school. So go check them out, akinclothing.com. And now, if you will, enjoy the show.
Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, CougarCast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast.
My name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And Tosh, the offseason continues to roll along. I don't know, have you found any of those blue boxes that BYU is hiding?
No, I haven't. But if I lived in out of state, I think I would be somewhat interested, you know, but
I think they're dropping 20 off around Provo.
Really?
Not Provo, but Utah.
I mean, if I
of those 20, how many of them have, they've got to be in Provo? How many of them got to be in Provo?
I would think 8 or more.
Okay, how many are on campus that they're dropping off? I guess 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm in Utah and in Provo that day, I might grab my son and go look for some boxes.
I'm going to beat you. I probably will not be running around for these. Mormons are nuts, man.
Yeah.
And it's free stuff for Mormons. Oh, my goodness.
The thing that would be cool from the box is that the football that's signed by pretty much all the past great quarterbacks. I mean, you can stick that in your office
that's a
keepsake forever.
That's pretty cool. And yeah, so I mean, it's pretty cool, and it's impressive. You want a way to show off your might to your own fans and to potential recruits and just the country in general, we can drop off a blue box in every state and expect somebody to come get it. And I think so far the longest that a box has sat there is like 10 minutes.
Yeah. No, like, it's been impressive. It's got me thinking our show has such a wide-ranging international market.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do some boxes for our fans. The one listener that we have in Argentina, maybe we set a box.
We love that guy, yeah. Just drop off a box in Bahia Blanca.
And then in our next show, we just tell where that box is at in Buenos Aires.
That would be fun. Maybe we do. Maybe what we need to do is we can use the big tees. We can make a Cougar Cast shirt, and we'll drop off our boxes around the stadium. And then if you follow us, maybe we'll do that. That actually might be kind of fun. By the way, I got my BYU basketball season tickets. Very excited. Very excited. Great, great non-conference schedule for people coming here. UMass is coming here. We've got Stanford just coming into town. That's pretty great. The Utes obviously are coming. And I for some reason, I always think it's fun when Long Beach State comes. I know that that's a game we're going to win, but for some reason it's fun.
No, I know people are stoked about this year's home schedule. Tickets, I've seen a lot of people complaining that they weren't able to get the same quality of tickets they had in the past just because there's a higher demand this year for BYU home games.
You want to know why?
Let's hear it.
Tyler Haws, man.
Yeah.
Just, it feels like he's going to have a really great year. But, little, it's not being reported out there. I don't have the, but about a week ago, he was walking around with the cast. He has a sprained ankle, pretty bad.
It's not good, but it's still, the season's a long way away.
Season's a long way away, walking cast, he's okay. But he'll be ready to go, certainly, no doubt. Again, the biggest thing I hope is that he can just move his range out even further and then just become prolific from three. He's pretty good 3-point shooter right now, but we'd like him to 40, 45%, 50? No, probably not possible. but one of those things that I really am excited for. And by the way, you'll be happy to know I'm in the Danny Ainge section in the Danny Ainge row.
What does that even mean?
Section 22, row 22.
All right, that's cool.
That's what I could, you know, it's what I could swing. So, anyway, Danny Ainge, and honestly, that's why I made the decision of why we're going there.
You are a strange man.
The Danny Ainge row. Anyway, okay, so, all right, last week we teased it, and this is how I want to introduce this week's topic. We're talking about missions this week, and... there's a couple of caveats that I want to begin and have everybody understand. Number one, I served a mission and I made it the whole way. Okay. And beyond that, I can't recommend a mission high enough, right? Like if you have a testimony, you really ought to go because it can bless your life like immensely, right? So that's caveat number one. It shaped so much of my life. The second thing I want to bring up here is that as we talk about this, I also understand that for different people in different scenarios, I cannot be in a position to kind of dictate whether somebody else is making a right choice for themselves or not, right? So if they didn't go on a mission, I don't know where their life was or what was in their shoes or whatever, you know. So no judgment coming from this end, right? But this conversation for me, I'm going to bring up about who's been on a mission and who hasn't been on a mission. And this actually, you know, does not give an indication of about the person's character. Like Chesimir Kosich did not serve a mission, right? But special dude translated the Book of Mormon into, I believe, Croatian.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably in the good eyes of the Lord, right? Like he's probably doing well there. So this is the point, okay? I just talking about it more matter-of-factly. So there isn't any kind of assessment about the kind of person that we're talking about. Okay.
And we're mainly looking at it from
a
BYU sports situation, not if it's going to be the right choice to help them become better men,
right?
But it really, how does, because this is a real thing, and I don't hear it discussed enough in my mind, that BYU, we hear it discussed from other teams acting like that missions are an advantage for our players.
Right.
But we never hear, like, our side or the fan side of how does the mission, how does that affect our sports teams in a good and bad way?
So today, I believe I will be I will be focusing more on the bad, and I think,
that's what you believe. You think that it hurts us sports wise.
Oh, listen, okay. So that's a great way to begin this. Okay, you spend your entire fandom talking to people who aren't BYU fans, and they'll be like, "You got 25-year-olds out there competing against our 18- and 19-year-olds. Of course, you guys win because it's a crazy advantage to have. These are grown men, and they're playing against our teenagers." Right? And you sit there and you go, that guy knows nothing because going on a mission is not an advantage. Like, everybody I know argues that going on a mission isn't necessarily an advantage, like, athletically. Right? But then, if I take it from there and say, athletically speaking, like, if your only decision is based on athleticism, right, history indicates you should not serve a mission if you're going to be the best athlete you can.
And there's a lot of things that point to that. I would say that I think that has changed with modern sports training. That nowadays, the modern sports training can get more recent return missionaries to get to an athletic place that they were before that used to not be attainable.
Right. Also, for some reason, more missionaries are coming back in better shape than when they left, like Fui Vakapuna.
Yeah, well, he's the biggest. He's the golden example of the guy who was like an NFL body, an NFL shape. Like, didn't he get home like weeks before the season or something? Like,
and he was just gigantic.
Yeah, and just crushing people.
No, they showed a picture, like his before and after mission, and he like, you know, it's like he was moving around with his weights or... You know, I don't know. How do you get that jacked?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he buying gym memberships and going? I have no idea how he figured that one out. But good for him, right? Okay, so here's what I want to say. Some things that will help set the table on a few things that... But this helps set the table. Okay. In BYU football and basketball... None of the players that have won an individual national award, none of them. So Heisman, Outland, Doak Walker, Sammy Baugh, Davey O'Brien, Wooden Award, Player of the Year for basketball. None of them served missions. Not one. None of the members of BYU, of the College Football Hall of Fame, served a mission. None of the members of the College Basketball Hall
Jim
of Fame.
Jim McMahon, he might get in.
He might serve a senior mission. By the way, just one other thing that I should explain to people, okay? How I've determined if somebody serves a mission or not goes into checking their BYUCougars.com athlete profile, because my assumption is that if it's on there, fill out your profile that we are going to post. Right, and I bet there's a field on it that says mission. In fact, there is I've confirmed that. So there is a field on it that says which mission did you serve in. And so if you leave it blank, like if you went on a mission, like you're gonna fill that in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason why you wouldn't. Okay. So if there isn't any mission information on these bios, then I'm making the assumption that they have not gone. So my apologies if I'm incorrect to anybody out there. Okay. All right, so now, other things, just important things. 9 of the 11 consensus All-Americans for football never served a mission.
9 of how many? Do we know?
Nine of 11.
Okay.
That's right. So there's been 11 consensus All-Americans. 9 of them did not serve missions. The only two that did were Chris Smith and Dennis Pitta. Tight ends. okay, and then one of the other things.
Austin Cawley wasn't a...
No.
Huh. Got ripped off.
He wasn't a consensus All-American.
All right.
Who was the... There was an amazing receiver the same... He didn't win the Biletnikoff, right? So usually you have to win, like...
Well, it was Michael Crabtree,
I think. Crabtree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to. He was amazing. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, 28. So BYU has had 47 All-Americans named to any All-American team, right? Not academic, but like freshman All-Americans, just anybody that's made an All-American team. Of the 47 that have done that, 28 didn't serve a mission. So the majority. And then just real quick, two of the top 10 leaders in career passing served a mission. Max Hall, John Beck. Only two of them. None of the top 10 career rushing guys served a mission. Two of the top 10 career receiving guys served a mission, Pitt and Colley. And then two of the top 10 in career all-purpose yards served a mission, Colley and Visakhema. So it's like, all I'm saying is that if you look at any of the leaderboards out there for football and stuff, the names that we remember and we herald and we cherish and we think of as great football players, you know, it's basically a list of dudes who didn't serve missions.
The thing I'd say back to that is if you look at such as the two quarterbacks that did do it well, they're more recent. So part of me really is buying into that. I feel like we've made great strides at really getting people back into shape down to a lot better science. That now these guys are coming back, basketball and football. And sadly, though, you kind of have to have some money, because I think even before you're back at BYU, these guys are working with trainers, like at a really high level trainers, and coming back in really good. Taylor Hawes on the basketball scene, and he said that, you know, he was working out, doing workouts, not even shooting, not even playing 5-on-5 basketball for a while, but came back just, as we all know, really, really well.
Played really great.
But yeah, Matt, like lately, you know, Max Hall, Dennis Pitta, Austin Colley, Beck, and a lot of guys on the defensive side, almost it seems like they've had an easier transition, and I don't know why, but the Brian Kills, the Jan Jorgensens, the Papingas who made the NFL, but that you are in my research to back up my argument that, hey, missionaries can still be incredible athletes, I ran into the same facts as you, is that historically the numbers are really stark for RM athletes. That they can be good, but just to achieve the greatness. But there is hope recently in the guys coming back from their missions and just looking a lot more athletic than I remember that being in the past.
And part of the stats that I'm sharing, you know, it includes people who are non-members. Right, like the running backs, like, you know, there's a lot of running backs that were non-members. Most of the quarterbacks throughout history have been non-members. Like, if you like, yeah, you know, Federick and Walsh and McMahon,
Sarkisian,
and right. I mean, like the '90s were basically like every quarterback was not LDS.
Yeah,
Detmer, right?
And then when he came,
and then he joined the church. So it's one of the things that maybe is an unfair, like it's unfair the criticism that I give, but.
I don't think it's criticism as much as facts. Like, I mean, you're...
Yeah, I guess criticism is the wrong word. I just... Mostly what I'm trying to get at here, and this is what I want to say, is that why... I guess I'm trying to figure out why. Why it is that that it seems to be that the legends of BYU sports seem to not serve missions.
I would say the biggest reason is just 2 years of not fine-tuning your body athletically.
I mean, it's obviously a disadvantage, right? Malcolm Gladwell, I've mentioned him before, but he's got the thing about in order to be an expert at something, you need 10,000 hours
or
something, right? And that's great if it's mental capacity things that you're working on, but if it's physical, like we know that there's a diminishing returns on your physicality if they're not trained, right, and they're not practiced upon. And it's like you're spending 2 years and you're not exercising really like to the level that you would be if you were not on a mission, right? And you're not practicing to the level that you would be if you were not on a mission. And so one of the things that I think is really, I guess, curious about this whole thing is like, yeah, you're losing 2 years of time to practice while everybody else is getting that time to practice.
And people will point to, well, they get time to work out, but it...
Half an hour.
Yeah.
6:30 in the morning.
And I served...
Let me share a story.
Yeah, I got one too after yours. Go ahead.
having my interview with my mission president, Elder Schertz. That's more like, Elder Schertz, you keeping all the mission rules? Well, President, I'd love to say yes, but I'm not. I'm trying really hard to, but I'm not. What? Elder, I'm disappointed to hear that. You're missing out on blessings. And he would love blessings. And anyway, he said, well, what aren't you keeping? And I said, I am not getting up at 6:30 in the morning and getting up and exercising immediately. Because at least when I was on a mission, that was when they, I don't know how it's structured now, but from 6:30 to 7, you were supposed to get up and half an hour of exercise. So I'm not getting up and I'm not exercising, like, right then. And he's like, Elder, you'll be blessed if you do it and you do this or that, you know. And then I said, President, you want to know who exercises as soon as they get up at 6:30 in the morning? I said, sure. I said, Olympians. And he goes, and Mormon missionaries. Anyway, I've always thought that was kind of a silly story.
Yeah, no, you know that I've heard you say that before, and I tell that to my wife because she doesn't like that I work out in the middle of the day because I'd have more family time if I woke up early and then worked out before everyone woke up. And I'm like, Maggie, only Olympians work out before everyone else has woken up. But like, yeah, but back to what I was going to say too, I served with a guy that played Division I football before his mission. He was my companion. And he was using that exercise time, but still, it's not the same. A half an hour. We most days he'd go running.
Right.
Some like push-ups and the band stuff and things.
The band.
Occasionally there was free weights actually around, but that was rare. But anyway, that was not even close to the same. Like his physicality, his body shape, his speed from the beginning of his mission to the end. It declined for sure.
Right.
And this was a guy that was running and trying to do stuff for that half hour, but food wise, and these guys are coming from where
right.
they were working out probably 2 to 4 hours a day. If you include practice, and then most D1 athletes are doing stuff even outside of practice, that they were getting 2 to 4 hours of exercise a day.
Right.
Now they're getting a half an hour of no one pushing them running. It's not the same.
So obviously there's the physical end of it, right? And so we're doing is we're pointing out what most BYU fans know, right? This is really tough. But I actually think there's a mental component to this too.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
You get charity in your heart, which that's not what most high-level football players necessarily have in their heart.
Let me go at it a different way, but it's sort of similar to what I'm saying. Basically, it's this. The value that a lot of kids have when they're Division I athletes, like the entire value that they have in their life, like the reason they were popular in high school and valuable to adults as a teenager and stuff was because of how good they were at, you know, football or how good they were at basketball. And so they're a huge amount of their identity is tied up into, I got to be really good at basketball in order to remain kind of a valuable asset in society, right? That's my social capital at this point, is the fact that I'm a good football
player.
That's
what they identify with. If someone asks them, who are you? Like, probably the first thing that comes to their mind is, I'm a bad A football player.
Right, and the other one is that for a lot of kids, you know, who are you know, lower middle class and lower in economics, this is my way out, right? Mm-hmm. So, whether that's a right or wrong thinking, it is the thinking, right? So what happens is we have these guys for BYU who go out, they serve a mission, right? And suddenly they've been valuable for something in their life, for something other than their athletic ability. And they've learned that there's things that are far more important. And so when it comes to coming home and translating it back out onto the field and games get tough and you're playing against, you know, the really, really good teams you know, you get in the NCAA tournament, and that becomes the time where it's an extra level of effort and an extra level of playmaking and desire. And now you're going up against the five guys, and the guys on the bench are playing like maniacs because this is their way out, or this is who they are. And if they don't accomplish this, it's going to speak negatively about their identity, right? And all this stuff. BYU guys aren't thinking this. They're going, I'd like to win. Boy, it would be really nice to win. I really want to win, right? But, you know, I want to be a good dad, and I want to make sure that I'm ready to take the sacrament, and I want to be ready that I've got this.
And you could say that after a loss, that their perspective could be, you know, that sucks that we lost, but I still have all the important things in life. I've still got, you know, a great a family. I've got kids. I've got.
There's a level of desperation that doesn't seem to exist in a BYU basketball team at the March Madness tournament that needs to, in order to really advance. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous that we've been to the tournament, 30 times now? 28, 29 times, right? And, you know, we've won 11 games at that tournament, but we've only been able to make it to the Sweet 16 if we've had the National Player of the Year on our team. There's been a lot of really good teams that have come through that could have made the Sweet 16, right? But it's that level of desperation, like, this is the most important thing in my life, and I've got to win this game now. And it just doesn't seem to come out of our guys, and I think that a big reason is because of their mission. That maybe your star player didn't go on a mission, right? But all the role player guys probably did. And so when it doesn't come to that level of desperation and desire and want and stuff, I just feel like this happens to BYU a lot, where you see them get beat by teams because they're properly adjusted human beings, right? Like, yeah. They're not maniacs who are crazy competitive and don't put all their stock into, you know, being a athlete, but they put it into being, you know, a child of God, right? And I think that missions end up because of that mentally, and I think this is the bigger end of it, because you can get your body back. Like, takes, you know, we've watched it, but
yeah, usually, look at Taysom. He got his body back.
Usually by the time you're a junior or senior, you're gonna be fine, right? You're gonna be back. But this mental thing, that never changes. How do you erase spreading the good news for 2 years and learning that charity and love in your heart and, you know, a correct perspective and living a Christ-centered life is more important than being the best athlete on this team or on the planet?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. I think that's real, and I think for life that's a good thing. But for sports, it may take an edge away sometimes that can help in the sports sphere. What I would say, though, all these things being said, what the biggest factor of why BYU needs guys to go on missions to succeed athletically, in that today's world with social media, with Twitter, with everyone having a phone, it doesn't seem to me like guys get away with stuff anymore. It all comes down to the honor code, really, for me. That as long as BYU has
this is a really strong point. Keep going.
As long as BYU has the honor code, and if they are going to suspend and kick players off for breaking said honor code, the best way that we can keep our best athletes on the field is have them go on missions.
Or training. You know, if the mission is anything, it's certainly a training ground for living the honor code.
And for following rules.
Right.
And for buying into the concepts behind the honor code's right. Principles. That if you look at...
I wrote about this real quick. That the honor code makes no sense to people who don't go to BYU, and it makes no sense. Like, even LDS people who support BYU but never went, they kind of still look at the honor code as weird. You know, it's like, why can't you wear a beard? Like, God doesn't care if you wear a beard or not, but BYU does, right? And I kind of wrote about the thing where you feel honor bound. That it's just a lesson in honor, where you feel honor bound to follow something,
yeah,
because you said you would. that lesson is one of the legacies of BYU, and it's something that is lost on so many people. But I feel like anybody that goes to BYU, kind of most people that go to BYU get the message, and kind of that's why we love the honor code, because it, you know, it teaches you that lesson of what you say, you do.
And as a BYU fan, and actually on a side note, I hate this time of year, because this is the time of year that guys break the honor code.
Violations.
Where we hear about people getting going to be suspended. That this is my least favorite. I just want the season to come. I want fall camp to come so that I feel like everyone's more focused and we're back to football.
You're in mother hen mode.
Yeah.
Right? If you're in my coop, right, and we've got you and we can keep you busy, you know, you're going to be fine. And
totally.
If your eyes are on the prize and your focus is fine, but if you're not away, if you're away from campus and you're not, right, because they're not.
Yeah, they're playing. They have player run practices, but they got a lot of free time. I can't think of the worst thing that happens as a BYU fan. Like that, some of my saddest moments, even worse than losing games, are finding out that one of our key players has been suspended, or even worse is like his career's done.
So it's ended as a happy story, but boy, yeah, it was not fun when Harvey Unga.
No, that was one of the worst days ever, yeah. Or I would say worse than that for me. And I'm a football fan, but the Brandon Davies
obviously,
situation,
yeah.
With where we were at that season, and I don't want to be pointing the spotlight on these guys any more than it's already been done, but I'm just pointing the facts that I can't remember losing a guy for this season. Or even worse, that his career at BYU is done for an RM doing that for an honor code violation.
Right.
Like, it's not to say it hasn't happened, but in my jogging my memory, I can only think of non-return missionaries that have really had a season lost, or even worse, their career done.
And I think you're right.
The historian Keith Schertz is racking his brain. Spencer Hadley had some games, but that was not – that's the only one I can even think of that's that way, that he was an RM.
Now, this isn't – again, and not every return missionary, for heaven's sakes, anybody that served a mission knows that missionaries are not Boy Scouts out there. Like, there's all shades of gray out there, right?
And especially when they get back. Nothing in life's a given.
You've got your hardcore Hebdens and you've got your Blyles out there. But the bottom line is that you're going to run into – to, you know, all kind of guys out there on your mission, and they're going to come home and you're going to have all. So, like, this isn't to say this, but at the same time, you do kind of prepare yourself, and it's like honor code seems like cakewalk after mission.
Yeah.
It's like, I can be with who I want to now? Yeah. I don't have to get up when you tell me? Yes. I don't have to go to bed when you tell me? Yeah. I don't have to, you know, do
I
this
can kiss
that.
Girls? Sure, we can't go that far, but it's still a step in the right direction, you know? Like,
yeah, yes, that's right. I can watch TV. Yes. Okay. So that's right. And I think that's a really strong point that if you want, you know, to avoid, I guess, the same argument I made about, you know, injury, a player isn't valuable if they're injured because they're not on the field.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same deal. At BYU, we've got this extra thing where it's like, if a player isn't, you know, living up to the honor code and they're not on the field, they're not valuable. So I don't care how good you are. Like, you're not helping the team if you're not on the field.
Amen.
Right?
Totally agree. And this sounds harsh, and it is harsh, but this is based off of my life experience, what I've observed, and historical facts that the RMs on the team, I just don't worry about them. And as sad as this is, and I think this is a good worry, but the guys that come in that aren't, in my eyes, necessarily the typical BYU guys, I worry about those guys. I worry, are they going to be able – because living the honor code for those guys is tough, and I think it's great for them. And I think my worry part of it is for them. Like, I want this to work out in BYU to make them better people and better athletes. But, like, my peace of mind is at a different level when these guys are RMs. Like, having Taysom, I just don't think that – I don't see Taysom having an honor code screw up where he's kicked out of the school or he's lost for a whole season or something like that. Like, not that he's a perfect man.
No.
But that's my biggest thing that I think it's great. Actually, BYU needs a lot of RMs is to keep our players on the squad.
So I agree. I guess what I want to say then is that, though, in order to have a truly special team, you've got to have elite special level players. And it appears that in order to be an elite special level player, you probably should not serve a mission.
It's hard to say the facts. I hope that Taysom Hill changes that dynamic. I hope that Kafusi just flourishes this year at the outside linebacker role and changes the way that we look at. I hope that our O-line, because we're really banking on several return missionaries this year to make our O-line different than it was. So I hope going forward that guys prove my point even more that, hey, we live in a different era, sports, training, the way we approach this. And the fact that these guys are leaving 18 to 20 now, I think that it helps, and hopefully we change that aspect. But historically, you're exactly right, that the guys that have achieved greatness, there hasn't been an RM that's done that yet.
I mean, another one of the 1984 championship team, 18 of the 22 starters didn't serve a mission.
Huh.
So it's like – it's just crazy. That's all. All I'm saying is like it's nuts because we Broncos sort of changed our mindset and we kind of think about these guys as all like these great, you know, the army of Helaman, right? And that whole thing. And yet at the same time you see these guys and many of them, right?
And here's this sort of stuff could make some people mad. And this is just my opinion, but I think that if some of those 80s teams lived in our world with Twitter, with everyone having a camera phone.
McMahon, dude, that would have been nuts.
I think that with the media, how it is now, with podcast, with people talking about.
Sure. Like,
that those teams, I wonder how many, if there would have been a lot more scandals that I think they handled things right, like. They were trying to make these men better. I'm not saying there was any shadiness, but nowadays it's just so much more public that I think that the dynamic of having 18 non-RMs on your starters, I just don't know if that would fly anymore. I think this year, though, I actually think we do have a great mix of that. But again, I have this worry.
But I think you should have a mix.
Yeah, no, I agree. BYU shouldn't just be for guys that
LDS
are already
guys that are right.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I think that what would be indicated if you looked at it more in depth is that we need the contributions of people who aren't LDS in order to be like truly good for football. You've got to have so much depth. There's so many positions. There's so many players out there, right? Like it's really tough to just rely on the LDS kids, right? At basketball, you may actually be able to get away with focusing in just on the LDS kids.
There's only five guys on the court at a time. You only need a few great guys.
No, well, right. And you've got 12 guys, right, who you're going to carry, except for some of them last for 4 years. So like at any time, you know, in each class, you only got to grab two or three kids. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, it's just really interesting that I feel like there's so much kind of more focus in basketball. In basketball, there's a lot more guys that served a mission that did it. But even then, there's been 11 conference players of the year from the BYU basketball program, and four of them served missions. Like, it's a little better ratio, but it's still like the majority of them did not, right? And so, anyway, it's just one of those things. I don't know, you know, what to make of it. Other than it seems like the kids that do make the decision to not go on a mission, seem to kind of polish their game off the most. You know what I mean? So this may mean good things for Toulson, who's coming in, right? Or this may.
Wonder if part of
also with the age change. Let's talk age change, but finish your thought real quick.
I just wonder if part of what you just said, though, is actually a selection, that it's not from an even pool. I wonder if some of the guys, you know, I don't know Jimmer's circumstances, but just using him as an example, I think maybe some of the players that are at a higher level than everyone else actually then are weighing out, hey, I'm for sure going to make it to the pros if I don't go. And so it adds another. So I wonder if maybe some of that success of BYU's non-missionaries is actually based on that these guys were freak athletes even at the college level and knew that. So I wonder if that's part of what's going into play that are – but we've had some freaks that have gone on missions too. McKay Jacobson.
Sean Bradley.
Yeah. guys that were great pre-mission.
The guy – I think one of the top athletes BYU ever got was Michael Smith. Okay? Michael Smith was one of the – I think he was one of, if not the top volleyball recruit in the country. He was a top 20 basketball guy, like – you know, John Wooden was like trying like crazy to get this guy from Hacienda Heights, California, to come right there and play at Westwood. And he was LDS. He decided to come to BYU and join BYU's program. And you know, he was an amazing athlete, great football player. You know, 6'8", fast, great touch, all that stuff. And of course, he went and served his mission in Peru. And was very stringent about not playing basketball on his mission. He thought it was really important to show God that he can sacrifice that. But he got bothered all the time to play and play and play. This is a great story. And in short, he finally made an exception to go play a game of basketball. But he set it up with a game where it was there's two local teams in this like village and. Not village, city in Peru. And so he set up a game between these two teams, and then he was going to play on one of the teams. So he decided to play. And his big thing is he went around and invited people out to the games, and his whole thing was trying to get people out so that he could build more of a teaching base. And he went and played, and it was the only time, according to him, the only time he played basketball on his mission was in this game, and he scored 47 points.
That's great.
And from that, he started Dan Jones's record went down. So it was one of those things that it's just one of those things. Like there have been great athletes who've decided to kind of sacrifice some of that, you know. And I do think though that you know Michael Smith went on. He made the NBA. He played for the Celtics and the Clippers, and he played in Europe. And now he's a color announcer for the Clippers. But the thing is that he. I think wouldn't trade his mission because for him it wasn't just about athletics, right? Yeah. And so my thing is if you're only making a decision about athletics, you don't go. If the athletics is the only thing that's important or it's the most important thing, I think if you take a look at history and stuff, and if I was advising somebody, I would say, if you really think that the only thing that matters is that, or that's the most important thing to you, or you think that there's earning potential, or like Jabari Parker talked himself into, he can be a better missionary by being in the NBA, whatever the case is.
And we don't – and that's why we get mad when opposing schools say, oh, you guys are better off. Because we know, just as you said, if you were going on – you would never go on a mission for athletic purposes. That would be a stupid move.
Right.
That people go for other reasons. Back to – I want to talk about for a second how the age change, how that's going to affect things. One is that part of me, I thought it was kind of fun to see guys 1 year before their mission.
It was.
I think Mika is going to be one of the last guys that we have that experience with, that we see him right before, and then the whole time they're gone, you're like, man, we get Mika back in a couple years.
You remember who I remember that with the most? Jackson Emery. I remember Jackson Emery played as a freshman in – he wasn't that effective in the sense of scoring and
but
stuff.
But he played
He played so hard as a freshman. I remember thinking, oh, he'll help when he comes back.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited for him.
I mean, Tyler Haas, I kind of felt
Haas
that
was
with
another
him.
One,
in football, McKay Jacobson's probably the one that I was jonesing for the most while he was on his mission.
There's a lot of Austin Colley hype.
Yeah. Austin Colley for sure.
Anyway.
But we don't. That's kind of gone, I think, for the most part. Where now, but I think that is for the better, that these guys are going to go straight at 18 to 20 and then come back and have 4 years with a redshirt year to even get back.
Right.
So that really changes the dynamic even more. I think that more than ever, BYU has a chance to have these athletes be at least at the same level they were before because they get them for four consecutive years, really five with that redshirt year if they need it to help them.
I think that is from a fan side, that is true. We will miss seeing like the guy and knowing that he's going to leave.
Yeah,
you know, it's like It's like you don't get in a relationship with the person getting ready to go on their mission. You know what I mean?
It's just for a heartbreak. Bad idea. Yeah.
And BYU sports fans understand that because we've watched it happen over and over and over again. The other thing with the age change, it also seems to me like that'll make it a lot easier to navigate the scholarship scenario.
Oh, totally. Just as a fan, it makes it easier to project who's on our team in different years. As a coach and a recruiter balancing scholarships, it's got to make their life so much. Their spreadsheets have got to have just been simplified dramatically on how many scholarships Dave Rose has, Bronco Mendenhall has, what position groups they have depth in a given year.
And that can be a hard thing to juggle, as we've seen witnessed with like DeMarcus Harrison and a couple other scenarios.
Even you could sit Murphy.
Yes.
What's his first name again? The guy that went transferred to the U. Anyway.
Jake
Murphy.
Dale Murphy's son?
Yeah.
Football player?
Yeah. They came back and we didn't have a scholarship for him.
Yeah. Right. So that's the thing is it, and it's funny now, it's like we just seem to have scholarships available for anybody that wants to come in. Anyway, it's bizarre. Okay, so that's the main thing I wanted to get at. I guess my conclusion is that like every BYU fan knows that it's not an advantage to go serve a mission, right? And ultimately, if you're going to be the best athlete you can be, you probably shouldn't serve a mission, right? But Tosh made some great points about why you ought to and some of the things that help. But the bigger thing for me is that message of like the desperation, and that's kind of the thing that I've carried on. I've thought about this. It just doesn't seem like BYU has the absolute total killers.
I know.
And that's why I think that an undefeated – we've talked about going undefeated again and if that'll ever happen. And one of the things is it's only happened once in history, and it happened under a circumstance where we had mostly non-missionaries playing for the team, you know. And I think it'll be really interesting to see, right, as time goes on and as more and more kids go on missions and this thing – you know, as the church grows and there's more options for them to get LDS kids and more of them are choosing to go on missions just straight out of high school and stuff, it'd be interesting to see if there can be a switch or some sort of a change in the psyche of these guys, you know.
I think that's really, though, part of what the fun is of being a BYU fan. Yeah. That if BYU does have a magical season and we know that they've got all these different dynamics and that the – it just makes it so much more fun.
It does. I agree. I've thought about this. It's like, how weird is it to be a University of Utah fan when, like, they go through the starting lineup and everybody's from Texas and California, and they've got two guys from the state of Utah that play on their team. Like, it's not representative of who they are. You know what I mean? And it's like, I do feel like that BYU usually is representative of who they are. And I like that.
Yeah.
And you're right. It does make it better. And frankly, that's the hardest part about being an insane BYU fan is deep in your gut, you always know that it's not as important, even though you feel devastated or whatever, it's not as important as you probably shouldn't care as much as you're caring right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's had that experience. It's a BYU
fan. But when you have those magical moments, when you have the return missionary running around the field with a knee brace on for like 300 yards against Texas, like
259.
Those just make it all the more fun. Just anyway, and so it's an interesting conversation. It's some that I think is not talked about as frank as we did on how missionaries affect the team, but it's a real dynamic, and there are pros and cons. You're fooling yourself if you think that you can play it both ways, that the other schools can't complain about us having missionaries, but yet then you're not willing to admit that going on a mission might not be better for someone athletically. Like, right. You can't have it both ways.
Well, that's the part a lot of fans try. That's
to.
The part that makes me crazy sometimes. Yeah. All right, so that's it. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is really compelling about being a BYU fan, and I think that it's one of the exciting parts of being a BYU fan. But I also think that that excitement is what costs us Tosh. And unfortunately, that's the way it goes. You know, we all have it in our heart that it's worth losing to Utah if we're actually building these young men.
Yeah, but do we really have that in our hearts?
Yes.
We need to start,
come on, you do.
We do. It's true. But we need to start beating Utah, for the record.
I'd love to start beating them. So hopefully you've enjoyed this conversation. If you can, please go to iTunes and rate our podcast. Give us 5 stars. Write in something nice. Hey, you know what? Actually, I'm not even going to tell you to rate us 5 stars. Rate us what you think we deserve. And we could take the criticism. It's okay. It's fine. Email us, cougarcast@gmail.com, and find us on Twitter at CougarCast. And, of course, Tosh, he is our cougar border. I can't do it.
That's
there.
That's very true.
There's a culture there. I can't do it. I don't know. It rubs me right. You don't like the Twitter culture.
Yeah, it's true. It's just very different.
The Cougar Board thing.
I'm for Mac on Cougar Board. If you're a Cougar Boarder.
All right. Good luck to anybody across this country trying to find one of those blue boxes. May you find it. One other thing on that. Just one quick dot. Does it feel like it's sort of rigged because everybody that finds these boxes is decked out in BYU clothes?
Yes, I mean, I can see where you get that, but then I don't think it is rigged in the, again, back to Cougar Board. It seems like, because the fans, the people that go to Cougar Board are the same insane people that are taking off work to find these boxes.
Right.
And it seems like 80% of them have been found by Cougar Boarders, and they post their stories about how, and a lot of times they're posting like where they're driving to one place and it's not there. And I think they're making it an event where they're decking out their families and they're using this as a day. Let's go find these boxes.
Okay.
So I don't think it's rigged in that. I just think these people's backstories are convincing. If it's rigged, then they're putting a lot of effort into having people write these stories.
And it really doesn't seem like BYU to rig things out. You know, that's fine. It does seem like BYU to comp people stuff.
Yes. It does seem awesome that no matter where we go in the nation,
yes,
that we can. There's people that are decked out in BYU gear that are finding these boxes instantly.
All right. So thanks for listening. One other thing. Hey, anybody out there, please. I'm still dying. What happened with Dwayne Busby? I would love to know. Was there any information there that ever got released?
No.
So a huge firestorm happened, and there's been no fallout from it, and we don't know the end of that story.
I think there will be, though. I don't know why would they don't need to announce it now. I think they just announce it as the season gets closer. That's my point of view.
Well, I'm dying to know.
If someone knows, send him a message.
Dwayne, email me, cougarcast@gmail.com. Have a good week.